At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family, like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey? Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
Welcome back to More To It, the show that takes a deep dive into the biggest stories in sports, entertainment, and culture. Start with headline news and then journey to deeper conversations. Always finding those life lessons that are presented in every single story. I'm your host, Marcel Swally. That dude.
Yes, I am feeling that love, man. You know how we do it all the time. But right now, as y'all can see vividly, I am in that love. It's love out here. But let's talk through it. You know, we always got our Friday swag away. I always got to show y'all that love. Look at that book right there. That's for somebody who's going to log on to projecttransition.org and donate any amount. I don't give a damn if it's two pennies trying to rub together. Just donate. And if it's a recurring donation, weekly or monthly, guess what? You enter all the sweepstakes. What are all the sweepstakes? Well, you know me. I got thousands of these throwback jerseys. Yeah, I brought it on vacation with me. I got thousands of them throwback jerseys I'm going to hook you guys up with. Plus, game tickets. You want to go to a Chargers game? Want to go to a Rams game? Want to go to a Clippers game? Want to go to a Lakers game? Boo! Any game, I got you guys, no matter where you're living. Yacht experiences. Yeah, we're going on yachts together, baby. Got those lined up already. Concert tickets, going to LL Cool J this weekend with some lucky supporter, some lucky donor, right? So make it a recurring donation. You enter all the sweepstakes. And check out the website. Check out our Instagram, Project Transition. You'll see all those winners up there. Want to see your face up there as well. Love you guys for all of that. But you know how we start off every show. Well, what's up with that dude? Well, the set hasn't changed. Nope. And this ain't one of those AI images. I am on staycation. Yes, the dreaded staycation. That's when you drive down the street and pay somebody else to stay in their hotel. And I'm still paying your mortgage right down the street in spitting distance. I live right there. Can we go back home, baby? No, we ain't got an ocean in our backyard. I give you that, baby. We ain't got no palm trees like that either. But our neighbor does, so we can kind of look at it. It's like both of ours, but you can keep it in your property. It's all love. You know, take the kids out. Let them enjoy different surroundings, different experiences. MJ is out here just meeting friends left and right. And sometimes you really don't know how to assess your school, assess how your kid is developing. You know, you compare him to who he sees every day, but when you get them out of their element, then you get to see how they really respond to this world at large. And it's just good to see, man. My itty bitties, they're fearless, really fearless. And sometimes we know how this country works and this culture works at times where you get taught differently, right? Just seeing these little kids run around open with a free spirit in a world where you can see some kids a little closed off. Maybe they're shy. Maybe it's gotten beaten out of them, you know, like chill. You know, I know I grew up around a lot of people where they were beating the freedom out of us. They were just mad. I was like, what you so mad for? Put that down. I was like, all right, I'm going to put it down. But I'm going to pick it up when I get older. So it's just good to see my itty bitties at this age picking it up right now. Speaking of picking it up, let's get into the show right now. Seems like Matt Jones is the only quarterback. Who? Matt Jones on the Patriots roster that was able to pick up the playbook. That's what I guess I should assume, because he's the only roster quarterback that they have left on the Patriots. The hell they doing out there? Only Matt Jones is the quarterback on the roster. Who's second quarterback? Who's second string in case he get hurt? In case he struggles. We ain't got one, coach. Bill Belichick is out there doing Bill Belichick. Again, let's talk about it. All right, so they waived their backup quarterbacks. Bailey Zappi. I love me some Zappy. And Malik Cunningham. Gotta go. Both of them got released. What's the difference between getting released and waived? Y'all ever seen that on the ticker? It's like, half the names I don't know. So I'm just watching it. And I'm like, oh, he got waived. Oh, he got released. Like, what's the difference? I don't even know. I play ball, don't even know, right? Because I ain't never got cut. I just quit before I could get cut. Let me stop. All right, so they both got released. So therefore, it's only Matt Jones as the starting quarterback with no backup. Now, we know the rules this year. They have their emergency quarterback situation because of what happened in the NFC Championship game. They saw Brock Purdy go out there and get hurt. And basically, the game was over. We knew it. We were watching and hoping that the 49ers could win that game. But realistically, you were like, it's going to be tough sledding. You're already down to your fourth string quarterback. And then he got hurt. It's a wrap. Emergency quarterbacks coming in, receivers trying to play quarterback, etc. So the NFL said no more. That's the most important position. Obviously, it's a star position in terms of notoriety and fame. And we just can't have that out there leading our products. So they have that emergency rule. And obviously, if they clear waivers, they can come back and still be on the practice squad and then get bumped up. Maybe that's the game plan, but why risk it? Why go into week one saying we got a practice squad quarterback as our backup quarterback? I don't understand it right there. All right, so this is the same guy. We know Zappy, right? Remember everybody was screaming, Zappy, last year when we saw Matt Jones. A couple times he led them to victory. Matt Jones had his struggles, had his injuries, and we saw that he went out there and balled out. Not balled out enough, obviously. So we went from there to, well, we got some of the guys on the roster responding to this. Because I know when I read this, I was like, this ain't it. I don't understand how this can be something that you like. But let me hear from the inside. So Matthew Slater, we know he is beast. Probably going to be a Hall of Famer and as a special teamer. If he is, then Steve Tasker need to get his ass up in there too, but I digress. But he said, I love Bailey. He knows how I feel about him. He's one of my favorite kids of all time. I love when vets always call another young player or rookie player or a kid. Like, that's just the easiest way to put them in their place. Like, oh, I love the kid. Like, fool, you 31. If you 31 and I'm 21, I don't know no 10-year-old daddies. Like, I know there's some kids out there that had kids early, you know, some teenagers. But I don't know no 10-year-old daddies. Y'all know any 10-year-old daddies? So stop sunning me, son. One of those situations. But if you look at it, they like him. They love him up there. They were all shocked that they let the quarterbacks go as well. I'm shocked as well. Because this is the same situation where Bill Belichick didn't have an offensive coordinator recently, right? We saw that. And now he had three on the roster. Now he has one quarterback and maybe the hopes of a practice squad quarterback. I'm asking myself, what is Belichick doing? I'm not getting into that conversation of was it Brady or Belichick. Y'all know it ain't 50-50, but it certainly was more Belichick than Brady. It has to be that way. Why? Because coach is the chess master. Coach is calling the plays. Coach has more to do than just offense, defense, special teams, also the spirit of the team, work habits, etc. So even though Tom Brady was insane, the GOAT, killing it, it was never a 50-50 negotiation. When you win a championship, you got to pay respect to the coach first. I'm just telling y'all. Now, y'all like, why are you saying it like that? Why are you saying it with your chest? How you know? You ain't win no championship. Let me tell you about him, Pop Warner. Nah, in all seriousness, they just got too much more to control than just, hey, I'm scoring points. What else did Tom Brady do? He scored points, right? Moved the ball up and down the field. This was a Belichick show. All right, now I hear y'all. Well, why don't they win another one? Well, they ain't got the other 49% in Tom Brady, suckers. Let's talk through this. So I'm a little surprised they cut Zappy, can't lie. He almost created a quarterback controversy last year. So I thought he was certainly going to be in the running this year, or at least be on the roster. Forget the running, be on the roster. You guys surprised at that, that no more Zappy on this roster right now. And will the Patriots have a backup quarterback? And who should it be? Like, it's kind of wild looking at it like this. Let me tell you what's really bad about this. You know what happened with Brock Purdy when he got hurt, right? You know what happens to any team when they don't go out there with the quarterback they believe in. They're deflated, right? It's an inordinate amount of esteem, respect, and frankly, responsibility that we place on that quarterback. Like, you're like, dog, if we ain't got the quarterback, dog, you're really almost saying we ain't got a chance. Let me tell you why. I go back to some of my experiences when we had the wrong quarterback starting. You know, when we didn't start Doug Flutie, we started Rob Johnson. And we lost the playoff game. But I can't put that all on Rob, but I will put it all on us in terms of we had our hopes higher with Doug Flutie than we did Rob Johnson. Now, in this situation, the hopes are going to be highest with Matt Jones. But everybody knows Matt Jones is not proven. Matt Jones is not a franchise quarterback just yet. So what if he struggles again? What if he gets hurt? Oh, so 52 other dudes in this locker room are working their tails off for it to just be a coin flip, or maybe he does it, maybe he doesn't. And if he doesn't, then, oh, we all gonna suffer. That's not good leadership. Bill Belichick needs to fix this. Just the perception. Now, he may have a plan. He may have someone in backup situation that can keep the ball moving. Bill O'Brien's now there as the offensive coordinator, et cetera. He may have all of that. But you ain't got my dreams and hopes locked into what you're thinking right now. If I'm on the Patriots right now, I'm like, this is how we starting off the season. Matt Jones and a big shoulder shrug. So they need to fix it out there in New England, because no OC 1 year. Now you got Matt Jones and nothing else. I don't see how y'all going to compete in that division, let alone try to get yourself back to that championship so Belichick can get his reputation restored instead of losing it all when he lost Brady. All the love in the world for you guys, as you can win this book right here, right here. That is Never Shut Up for you Friday Swagaway winner. How you going to be a Swagaway winner? Here's another way to do it. This is probably the best way to do it. Hey, go to projecttransition.org. Get a tax write-off. I ain't even mentioned that yet. But also just donate. Or just leave your email so you can be part of the team, part of the community, right? We got to ride together to make change. But then also, that enters you into the sweepstakes. Now, if you make it a recurring donation, that means weekly or monthly, oh, you're going to be in every single sweepstakes I have. That means you're going to win a lot of stuff. All right, so here we go. We got throwback jerseys out there. Straight out of Jersey. I got thousands of these to give away, so I'm going to hook y'all up with some throwback jerseys. Just leave a note. Favorite team, favorite sport, favorite player. Make sure to enter you so you can win that. But also, concert tickets. Yeah, I'm going to LL Cool J with two lucky donors this weekend. That's right. It could be you. Or NFL games, Charger games. We got four tickets, VIP experience for the Miami Dolphins Chargers games. We're going to have a ton of football games all around the country, all around the NFL, NBA games. We got a yacht experience that we're planning out already. So you could be on a yacht with your boy popping bottles, Diddy style, boy. What else we doing? We got all types of sweepstakes. We got golfing experiences, Torrey Pines. Man, we just got so much, I'm probably going to forget half of them. But make sure you support the community, support the foundation. More importantly, have some fun, get a tax write-off, and win some stuff. Yes, we already had a Charger experience and a Monster Jam experience. Check out the website. Check out the Instagram of Project Transition to see those winners. Make sure your face is up there. All right, I know whose face is up there. One of the faces on the Buffalo Bills is up on that board. Still, he didn't get cut. Damar Hamlin. Let's talk about this. He makes the 53-man roster after having cardiac arrest. Y'all know I had heart issues growing up. And I told the story before of how I wasn't allowed to play football because of my asthma. But also had an irregular heartbeat that was getting monitored before I was cleared to play. Nothing to this extent, obviously, but something that has played in my mind my entire athletic career. We're going to discuss that. So Damar Hamlin's NFL comeback will continue with the Buffalo Bills this season. Yes, and he made the roster. He made the cut. We know what happened to him in January, watching him on Monday Night Football, when he not only collapsed, but died on the field and was resuscitated. And some reports said died again en route to the hospital, but obviously survived it all. So we saw him play in 3 preseason games, all of them this preseason. In the last game against the Chicago Bears, we saw him play 60% of the defensive snaps, 42 total snaps, including special teams. Why is that important? It was a torn situation. Like, you're torn. Here we go. If you're the Buffalo Bills, you're like, all right, great story. Damn it, we're boxed in. We can't cut this dude unless he's cuttable, unless he shows us that he can't make this roster. So you're rooting for him, but at the same time, can he make the team? He's not a starter. And more importantly, do we want the liability of what comes with having Damar Hamlin on the team if you're keeping it real? Like, Doc, we don't know if this is going to happen again. So let's just make sure that he's worth the risk, as they would say. Now, they could never say that, obviously, because that's bad PR. So he went to training camp this year. We saw him after all of the action that we saw from everyone else. We were looking at Damar Hamlin in specific terms. We were looking at him like, is he going to be healthy and is he going to ball out? That's how we looked at him. So here's what he said about it, because when training camp started, when was that? July 31st. We were like, what's this dude going to do? He said, look, I pretty much lost my life playing this sport. Then he got medically cleared, obviously, and that happened back in April. And he said, over the past few months, I've been on a journey and I've seen some of the top professionals across the country. And their answers to me were all the same. This event was life-changing, but it's not the end of my story. I'm here to announce I plan on making a comeback to the NFL. And boy, did he make a comeback. Made a comeback from suffering from commotio cordis, if that's how you say it. If not, I don't know how to say it, because I hope I never, ever, 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 ever have to deal with this. But yeah, commotio cordis, rare cause of cardiac arrest that starts with a blow to the chest in a precise spot at the wrong time in your heartbeat. Get hit at the wrong time, and bam, that's what causes it, according to the American Heart Association. Now, let me tell y'all, when it happened in real time, did y'all think the same thing I thought? That was a weird angle to fall, because he was like running laterally, and then the receiver for the Bengals, who I forget his name, I should know it, bam, hit him. And when he hit him, I was like, oh, I didn't expect that hit. And when he landed, I was like, whoa, that's a lot on him. But when he stood up, I was like, oh, all good. Oh, all bad. That's how that situation went. So Damar Hamlin, now all of that is behind him. But let me tell you what's not behind him. What happened? So here's the thing. We're all built and we're all connected by our memories, right? We're all built off of, physically and athletically, our muscle memory. So that's why it's so important to be disciplined, so important to be committed, so important for you to practice and practice good habits, right? It's not just go out there, practice makes perfect, but perfect practice makes perfect, right? John Wood. So you can't forget that we are just this walking momentum of muscle memory. And you can't forget even the bad stuff. Ah, so what is confidence and where's his confidence in terms of his health and his ability? Because you got to remember that confidence is just the management of doubt. So he's going to be doubting himself, but how is he going to manage that? Here's the thing about it that's crazy. If you're DeMar Hamlin, you can't forget this incident. For me, it will stalk me. For me, it will haunt me every single time I exert myself, every time I was stressed, every time I was out on that field huffing and puffing. Anytime, you ever catch a cramp in your chest? Like just like a twitch of your chest jumps, whatever it may be. I get them sometimes. Sometimes even when I'm just really fatigued, I'm like, ah. Well, imagine if you're DeMar Hamlin and that's the feeling you have. So I wonder if he's ever going to get back to his sixth gear. The sixth gear is what I always term as the reckless gear, the mindless gear, you know, Leroy with the glow gear, you know what I mean? Like, ah, you just in a whole different zone. You ain't even thinking, you just acting. You just on instinct, you just on impulse. Can DeMar Hamlin ever get back to that place? Because here's the thing, he has two more years on his rookie deal. And then after that, if he's not balling, not starting, then we're going to see what happens. Because Micah Hyde is there, Jordan Poyer is there, so we know he's not going to be the starter, but he could come in a nickel and a dime packages, obviously. Will he get released? If he gets released, who's going to pick him back up? Because then it's not going to be their story, right? He's not going to be on their roster when this happened. So it's going to be interesting. He got 2 years to prove it. If not, I think it's going to get pretty ugly for him because I don't know if anybody else is going to roll the dice in terms of the risk factor for a special team or backup player who has this still in his past and is never going to always be in his past because, one, he's always going to be thinking of it, and, two, an organization certainly is always going to know it. His reputation will precede him. So he needs to trump the reputation of him being a risk factor with the reputation of, nah, he's just a straight-out baller, and we got to have it. So ball tells all. We'll see what happens in this story right here. But amazing story. Raised $9 million plus on his GoFundMe for the foundation he has. And he's still alive, y'all. Forget all the rest. If he don't make another squad, I get it. This ain't what this story is. This is him making the Buffalo Bills roster, but respect to that dude, and I know he's traumatized. I don't care what he says. I ain't trying to hear it. Look, I got hit hard before by Jerome Bettis, and I still talk about it and still think about it. And anytime I'm running into somebody, I'm like, I don't know about that. So imagine if you died on the field, died in the ambulance, and still is alive to now play the sport you love. It's always going to be with you. We'll see how it plays out for him. But y'all amazed at his comeback? I know I am. I mean, it's insane. And then y'all surprised he made the roster. I ain't gonna lie, I thought they was gonna cut him. Now I was like, that's horrible PR. If there's any way to get him on that roster, y'all should find a way. Well, he did it on his own merit, but they also found a way as well because they could have went the other way since he's not a starter. And do y'all think he should be playing football? Let's just be real. If it's your son, right? And he died on the field. And you say, you about to go back there to the scene of the crime and commit the crime again? What y'all would do in that situation? What advice would you give him? Yeah. Got love for you guys, man. Y'all know what it is. Friday swag away. Who gonna win this book right here? You know what to do. You go to projecttransition.org and you donate any amount. I don't give a damn what it is. Or just leave your email there so you can be a part of the team, part of the community, and help the community. That's what we're gonna do together. But if you leave that donation and make it recurring, you get to enter all the sweepstakes. Yes, that includes winning this jersey. I just sent it to you. I don't give a damn. Yeah, got thousands of them too, for real. Ooh, I was in the game. I was like Fabulous, F-A-B-O-L-O-U-S, back in the day. I was doing the most, spending that sign of bonus on them damn throwbacks. Actually, I was getting hooked up too, but let me stop. So yeah, I got that. We got concert tickets. I'm going to LL Cool J with two lucky donors. It could be you this weekend. We got Charger games. We got Rams games. We got yacht experiences, golf experiences. It's going to really amp up. It's going to get into some crazy stuff. You could win the autograph book. You can win my playing cards, all my playing cards signed, jerseys signed, all that and more. Just go to projecttransition.org and leave a donation or your email. More importantly, if you leave a recurring donation, weekly or monthly, you're entered into all the sweepstakes. That means you're going to get some love. All right, y'all. Let's get into this, man. Skip Bayless and Sherman. They cleared the air over their infamous first take debate fight. Yeah, that was a fight. Verbal warfare. Go back to 2013 when it happened. Just a random ass question. I think Skip Bayless asked Richard. And Richard came in hot. Came in talking about, I'm better at life than your ass. Came in, said, you never accomplished anything, etc. So he also let it come out of his mouth that he was an ignorant, pompous, egotistical cretin. Is that how you say that word? Because I never used a cretin. What the hell? He called him all kind of stuff. So that's hilarious because then Skip was like, dog, he personally attacked me. Unrelentingly attacked me. So much for please no controversy today. I immediately felt ambushed, bushwhacked, set up, blindsided. You doing too much, Skip, right here. Forced to fight without fighting. Calm down. I had to defend myself with both hands tied behind my back. Okay. Now, I'm going to give y'all a little backstory on this because people don't really know this to the fullest, but the show Undisputed now has Skip and Sherman, and obviously they talking about all these other topics, but there was an elephant in the room, which was this from 2013. So in 2013, when this happened, we thought it was just beef, beef, beef. Obviously, it wasn't full beef because they wouldn't be back on this show together 10 years later. They started the negotiation process, and obviously Sherman, if you know him like I do, Sherman's a good dude, right? Skip Bayless is a really nice guy as well. He plays a hard-ass character on TV. Well, at least he did before this new iteration of Undisputed. I don't know what this new version is going to end up being fully, but Skip Bayless plays a character. Trust me, in real life, Skip Bayless ain't that. I know that for a fact. But Sherman is Sherman in real life. So they obviously made amends and they're good with it. But let's just give you a little color to what happened when it did go down 10 years ago. So at the time, according to Skip Bayless, this is what was going on. Him and Stephen A. Smith were auditioning for an afternoon show, and they were also on probation. Now, I've been at the networks before when you're on probation. That basically means rein it in, bro. You go in there, you bring in too much noise to us, etc. So they on probation and they auditioning. So they on good behavior. Let's just say that. Every time we saw them during this period, supposedly they supposed to be on good behavior. Now, he also told Sherman that he didn't want to go there and talk about anything controversial, right? That's what he was told so perfectly. They on the same page. We on probation. We trying to audition. You ain't trying to say nothing controversial. Let's go. All right. So then that segment started to happen. And then when they were going live, producers told the host to kind of like stall, vamp out. Like, you know, just give us some more. We need you to just give us more, more, more. So then Skip, on good behavior, auditioning, decides to just start talking about him and Darrell Revis. Like, oh, well, let me bring up a comparison to you and Darrell Revis. And then we're going to talk about how you aren't quite on his level, Richard Sherman. Now, he thought that was going to be like some little layup stuff or whatever. And Richard Sherman just going to be like, well, Darrell Revis is somebody I respect. And, you know, I'm a good player as well. We ain't got to compete against each other. We don't even play at the same time on the field. Right. One of those. He didn't get that. Sherman heard all of that, right? And then Sherman, of course, was worked up. And then he said, look, I felt disrespected when I heard that. So being disrespected, he said, all right, I'm going to come back at you. I got the numbers to prove my case. And frankly, if I don't have the numbers, I'm probably not going to make the case. So that's what happened. And then they just went at it. And Skip didn't really go at it because Skip trying to be like, yo, dog, I got this house arrest. You don't see my ankle? I got the house arrest. I'm on good behavior right now. And that's why Skip was like, dog, this dude is really coming in hot. And I can't return fire with fire. Now, with the numbers that Sherman had, I don't know if there was any fire to return. Maybe Skip actually was done a favor because he was under house arrest. Because how are you going to come back at Sherman at that time against Darrell Revis? Like, they certainly on the same level. You may have Doritos better than Cheetos, but they both made by Fritos, Frito-Lay, right? Oh, man. So I don't know about that one. I just think that this is a good, convenient story and good set of circumstances that saved Skip Bayless in that moment because Sherman was coming in hot because he didn't feel what you were saying. So then obviously now, you know, on the show, they made amends on the show, which they obviously made before. So, you know, that's just for production value for us. But I was thinking to myself, why even address it at first? Think about this. Look at the tension it created. Look at the anticipation it created. Even though the ratings don't suggest it, some people were showing me. Some people are sending me some clips and sending me some people saying the ratings are not that great for the new Undisputed. I got to do my own full research to validate that. But I know that I'm interested in seeing how much tension they really have. But to come out there day one and just say, hey, we're buds. Hey, that's behind us 10 years ago. Let's talk this now. I don't know if that was the best play. Matter of fact, I wouldn't have played it that way. Would you have played it that way? Y'all wanted to see them like immediately address the elephant in the room? Or you'd be like, what elephant? And let it simmer, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, if you know I got issues, like y'all know Ryan Clark don't like me, right? And if I'm in the room with Ryan Clark, don't you want me to just kind of like stay on the other side and see how long that lasts? And then let us walk by each other and see what we do. And then just like be in the same line trying to get a drink. Right. You know what I'm saying? Don't you like to see that? I like to see that. And then I also want to see that. And I actually have seen that. Let me stop. So here we go. They're going a little too far with, I think, like the kumbaya of it, similar backgrounds. Richard Sherman said, hey, Skip and I, we got similar backgrounds. No, y'all don't. We both from Compton, Richard. Skip ain't from Compton. And even if he's from some hardships and some hard places, it ain't Compton, damn it. So let's not go that far in this situation. But what I do like is they're professionals. What I do like is the fact that, hey, we have something and we're going to own up to it. And that makes you build trust, you know. Accountability builds trust. But I ain't needed day one. I just didn't need it that soon. I needed them to go back and forth or have a little tension built up. But hey, they just jumped in straight into the marriage, got into it, honeymoon already, day one. Let's see how that plays out. The craziest thing is, that's one of my favorite clips. It ain't beating Jalen Rose going that skip, but it's one of my favorite clips. And it's also, I think, why Richard Sherman is there. Let's be real. Richard Sherman doesn't have that altercation with Skip in this dynamic when Shannon Sharp is gone. You're starting to look at it like, who could I have in that role? Keyshawn gonna be there every day. Let me help y'all out on this show in particular. Keyshawn gonna be there every day. That's what the plan is. That's what the contract supposedly says. Sherman not gonna be there every day. All right. Michael Irvin, not sure about Michael Irvin just yet, but I would assume somewhere between Keyshawn and Richard Sherman. Maybe almost every day, but not every day. Okay. That said, this changes the whole dynamic, and you got to throw Sherman in there as that spark plug, as he is, because of that dynamic, because of how it went down that day. Without that day 10 years ago, we don't have this day with them on the show together. So did y'all watch this segment? And y'all surprised they settled that beef and that fast? Like, didn't y'all want it to kind of play out almost naturally instead of forced apology because of their relationship? And how long you think it's going to last before Sherman come across that table? Well, if Skip keeps playing moderator, it ain't gonna be anything to worry about. Like, it won't be anything that we got to think through. Because in this role that Skip is, it's not going to be enough contention for Sherman to get worked up like he did 10 years ago. This ain't the same Skip if this is the way that they're going to play it all the way through. So just interested in seeing what you guys think about this. I got to watch a full episode before I give y'all my full version of what it's going to be. That's probably going to be next week when they all stop being so nervous and stepping on each other or trying to fully respect. You know, LeBron and D-Wade day one, how they were deferring. You shoot it. I'm going to shoot it. I want to see how y'all really get y'all run on. And then we're going to talk through that. Got love for y'all because y'all got love for me. I see us growing just like a tree. Oh, my God. Here's the book for you guys. Go to projecttransition.org, log on, donate, or enter your email so you'll be a part of the team. But if you donate, you will be in the sweepstakes to win things like this, jersey. Yes, an old jersey, actually, throwback jersey. But I got you guys hooked up. Game tickets. You want to go to a football game, NBA game, whatever game, concerts, VIP experiences, one-on-one FaceTimes with your boy. Yes, we're doing that as well, man. Personalized books, autograph, everything you could think of, man. That's what kind of foundation we have at Project Transition. A foundation, right? So go to projecttransition.org, log on, donate, and be a part of the team. If it's a recurring donation, you're entered into all, every single one of the sweepstakes. Check out the Instagram to see the winners we've had so far. All right. Deion Sanders is chasing normalcy. I saw this article. I said, normal about what? Ain't nothing normal about Deion Sanders, man. Love me some Coach Prime. So we know what he's really chasing right now. His wealth, because his health is his wealth, as we all sometimes have to figure out sooner than later, man. No matter what you're doing in this world, no matter what you got going, how great it is, if you ain't feeling good, oh, it don't matter. It don't matter at all. He's went through 12 surgeries, y'all. 12 surgeries, including two in late July. Yeah, it's August right now. Last month, two more surgeries, Deion Sanders, to address the blood clots and other issues that threaten to cost him his left foot. And he almost lost his leg. So Deion Sanders did lose his two toes. It's kind of crazy how he talks about it too. Lost two toes, got amputated in the process of all these surgeries and trying to get himself right. So three times a day he does therapy on his foot, just trying to make sure he gets his proper treatment and his leg so he can get back. One of the surgeries they had to go through his groin to get to his knee and to his thigh, just to make sure that he got the proper blood flow, man. So a lot of craziness going on with Deion Sanders. But despite all of that, he's still going out there and trying to lead Colorado back to prominence so that we know the task at hand. But there's a few things that I saw in here that was really interesting about him. We've seen him going around. You know, Deion Sanders, you hear him before you even see him. Not just the volume of his voice, but how profound he speaks. He's a believer, so you're going to hear the substance of what he's saying. A lot of it is going to be religious based or God fearing, and you respect it because he comes through really practical, not only professing the tried true things of this world, but really coming at it in a way that is hard. It's hard to ignore what he says, even if you don't always agree. You got to respect his way, and his style is second to none. So he always has the substance, but his sizzle is by far the gold standard. We know that is real. So Deion was talking about him chasing normalcy, and he said, that's all I want. I want normalcy. I want to be able to walk in two shoes and not be in pain. Y'all hear that? Not taking meds all night. At one point, man, I was taking so many darn pills. It was like, come on, I can't live the rest of my life like this. It was double figure pills. I think it was 14 every night, y'all. All right, so his goal is to run out of the tunnel on Saturday. That's his goal, to run out of the tunnel. And he wants to run out of the tunnel, despite he knows he's probably going to have to get a pain-killing injection. I've told you guys before about the experiences I had with painkillers and the needle. Well, for Deion Sanders, as a coach, just to run out of a tunnel. Yes, Deion Sanders, the great Hall of Famer, is going to need a pain-killing injection like we used to get when we played. That lets you know, man, health is wealth for real. He said, look, if I got to get shot up to run out, I'm running out. They used to shoot me up before the game at Jackson just to make it through. And it would be worn off by the last quarter. That thing would be screaming. Okay. So not only that, he wants to run out of the tunnel, but he also wants to stand the whole game. I'm breaking this thing down to the simplest form. Deion Sanders, y'all, who I know we all respect. Some of us are envious of. Some of us think he's their role model. Some of us think, oh my God, it's the, you know, the guy I would want to be, you know, your hero. He is fighting just to stand during a football game, letting y'all know how this thing really goes, right? And he said, look, I'm trying to be able to stand for 3 hours. I'm trying to build that up to the game. 3 hours. That's a long time. I have to medicate myself as well. And then he gets into what his strength is, what his belief system is, which is how he is able to still be Deion, still be amazing, and still smile through the process despite all the pain he's really going through. He's like, look, I'm a demonstrative type of guy. I thought this was really profound. So God says, tell the enemy that he can take your mobility, but he can't take your ability. Say it, brother. So now my voice and words become more prominent because I'm not as mobile. I have to lean on another source, and that is fact. I talk a lot about the fact that if you lose one of your senses, the other senses are heightened. That's the same thing Deion's talking about. That's why you can see an injured player at times actually perform better. You're like, what's going on? Because his focus has increased because he can't do all the things physically. Sharper mentally because I can't do everything physically. They say blind people hear better, etc., right? The deaf can see better, etc., right? So that's how that goes. And Deion is tapped into that energy system. All right. And then he said the doctors who had to amputate his toes, man, told him we could keep the toes a couple of weeks. You got to miss games. You got to stay in here, et cetera. And Deion crazy. Deion said, man, forget those toes. Literally, like kind of Ronnie Lott, you know, with the finger, the pinky. He said, forget those toes. They were charcoal black. They were dead ass toes. You look down there and it's two black toes. Take them. What am I going to do with them? So he said his toes were lost in collateral damage because, frankly, it sounded like he didn't want to miss any games as a coach at Jackson State. And they trying to burn his ass up when he left Jackson State. And this dude giving up toes just to coach there. Boy, make that make sense. All right, so Deion, you know, he knows his calling. That's what he says and that's what he does. He said, this is my calling and I take it seriously. God allowed me to go through this on Front Street so that people will be inspired and encouraged. And that's what this is. I didn't want to talk about Deion and Colorado. We're going to get to that. Deion and Colorado, how good they are, how great they are, how sorry they are. But just to build up Deion, the great person, and talk about even great people having to go through stuff. Y'all know how we do on Never Shut Up. We're going to learn and unlearn. And a lot of times people see celebrity, they see greatness, and they think it comes without flaw. It comes without price. It comes without tax. Oh, it comes. Tax man want to see all of us, man. So just interesting, I thought, this whole scenario. And what do you think about this Deion story? Like, what was your first takeaway when you hear, like, damn, Deion struggling and going through all that? Obviously, respect to the man, but who? And do you think that Colorado will return to his prominence? You think him fighting for all this and trying to get this team back is worth it? Does he have the opportunity, the resources, et cetera? What he needs. He certainly seems like he got the talent. Are they going to get back on top? And y'all Colorado fans, because I know all of y'all out there are Deion Sanders fans. All right, y'all. Y'all know what we're going to do next. We're going to funk up some comments here. Funk up some comments. I'm over here just doing it all, baby. Then I'm about to jump in that pool with them itty bitties. All right, here's something. Nick Saban, no depth chart. Remember we talked about that yesterday. That's actually a genius idea for younger competitive college kids. Keeps them all striving for excellence. Yeah, except it leaves you in a state of doubt for some guys, I think, a little too long than that's necessary. Like, I want your attention to be on the job at hand, not if you have the job. And I think you can waste. Who hasn't been there? Am I number one or am I number two? Like, here we go. You meet a girl and you know she dating because you dating. And then you like, all right, I want to lock her down, lock it in. But I ain't trying to give up on all mine yet. And then you be spending so much time thinking, am I the only guy she really dating? Am I number one? Am I number two? Instead of just being good to her and then good to you. That's why relationships, you want to be committed. Because once you commit it, then you're like focusing on being the best in it. But when you're not committed, you spend a lot of time. Are you the one? Are you the two? Are you number three? Do they care? Am I going to get love? That same thing with the depth chart. So I like depth charts. Plus, if your ass ain't number one, get to getting. Come on. All right. So basically, he's saying he doesn't want a depth chart so players don't up and transfer. Now, that may be the game. And ain't mad at that if that is the game. I don't want all these other teams taking my number two quarterback, number two running back, because Alabama number two is the number one here. Whatever you got to do, by hook or crook, keep your talent. You put all that work in and recruit them. They put in all that work to commit. I like to see more guys stay still. But I get it if you can't do that. But it's a method to the madness. And you know Nick Saban, the genius he is, going to have a method to the madness. All right, here we go. Tony Romo versus media criticism. The media doesn't convince people with solid feelings on things. But people who are indifferent or undecided, if I'm not deep in a topic, I know of it, but not interested enough to research it, I'm way more likely to just take someone's word for it and be like, yeah, sure, they know more about it than I do. And a lot of people see the news that way. They feel it's the news job to research and give us the results. You ain't lying. I call it like a cocktail party, like phenomenon, dynamic. People love to keep the conversation going, even when they ain't knowing. All right, here's what I do. I'm going to tell y'all about myself. I have bad hearing. I got stabbed in my eardrum in college. But beyond that, I just got bad hearing. DJing too much. Having 412s in the back of excursions. Like, you know, all that. I don't hear you. So a lot of times I lip read. Like, I'm just looking at people like this when they talk. And a lot of times I don't hear what they say. But I know cadence. I know what people are saying in conversations. And typically it ain't worth a damn. It typically ain't saying shit. So I'm like, whatever. But I know when to nod. And, you know, doing broadcasting. I know, yeah, yeah. I'll be doing my notes when I was, you know, doing broadcasting right now. I'm doing my notes. Yeah, man. I would have never done that. You trip. Man, shoot. If I saw her do that, I'll be like, yo, we good? What? I ain't hear one word you said, bro. But I know when to come in, when to get out, right? I know that. So I do that a lot at my cocktail parties. Like, people be talking. It be loud. They playing that loud-ass jazz music. We all on somebody's lawn and passing around champagne talking. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, my God. That was an amazing, good take there, Wyler. Uh-huh. Which is, yep. All right, Paul. All right. So I think that happens in the media as well. Like, cats don't know what the hell they talking about. But they got to have something to say. So they just say what they heard instead of researching and doing the work. I get that. I really do. I noticed the criticism of TR about petty things while juicing up Greg Olsen. Do we not see it? If the performance is lacking, then the ratings should reflect it, right? Except ratings are archaic. Nielsen, I think, for the first time allowed Amazon to give them their inside numbers, because, you know, all these streaming services, they got the real ratings. Like, you know, YouTube, etc. Like, oh, I know how many views. I know how long they watched. I know when they watched. I know the demographic. Like, Nielsen ratings on TV is like, oh, it was on at the Yard House and the sports bar down the street. So we had two views or two ratings, or we had 200 because every one of these sports bars worth 100. It's just so generic. It is so general. So it's not always ratings based. Noah Lyles versus NBA stars. The problem ain't even what he said. It's why he chose to say it at that moment. Interesting. Nobody asked him about that. In the greatest moment of his career, he's now going to be remembered as the guy that took a shot at the NBA instead of the guy that won 3 medals. Yeah, well, the Olympics is the greatest moment. But yeah, I mean, it's the World Championships. Obviously, you got to love that. I don't think it was the moment. I think it was partly your sport ain't our sport, NBA. So now you, like, it felt like a clout chase. It felt like, oh, now you got a little attention, and now you're going to just try and bring down the big dog. So it was like a little bark from the little dog. Like, you see the little dog all hyped up. Like, it's like you putting a big dog on a leash. It's the off season. NBA ain't tripping on nobody. And then the little dog just, oh, you on a leash. And then that big dog just looking like, what? Ah, get off this leash and eat your... So part of that, but part of it was also... People don't respect track. So if they don't respect track like they should, they ain't gonna respect what you're saying about track, right? Greg Popovich said the exact same thing years ago. And ain't nobody eating up Greg Popovich for it. And nobody probably even remember Greg Popovich said the same thing. So it's just crazy. Like, it's a gumbo. As y'all know, I like to say gumbo. That means it's a lot of little things in there. It's in the name, NBA, National Basketball Association. I know, sometimes you can state the obvious in this world, and then people just lose their mind. Like, boys are boys and girls are girls. I have 3 girls and 1 boy. But I saying that right now makes me transphobic. Y'all ignorant. Like, sometimes you can say just the obvious. It's blue outside. Well, why it gotta be blue? It could be a different hue, a color. Boys are boys, girls are girls. You know what I'm saying? Simple as that. So, whatever. Jokic will never call himself a world champion winning an NBA chip. He's a Serbian who plays with a mostly American roster, represents an American city, and plays for an American owner. World champion represents and wins for his or her country, not for a private owner. Hey, I get it. Y'all right. He right. People wrong. People dumb too. NBA players are prima donna that actually believe their own hype. They act in what Noah said was so offensive, when in reality, it's their only way to get media attention and people talking about them. Well, I will say this. None of them negated what he said. They just like, what'd you say? Oh, bro, need help. Oh, man, he tripping. Like, you're one of those. I'm the king of that. I'm the king of saying something, and people don't even dispute what I'm saying. They'd be like, why you say that? You know what I'm saying? I'm like, because it's true. I know your plight. Antonio Brown versus Ryan Clark and Dov Kleiman. AB is struggling to stay relevant. Now it's by any means necessary. Part of that. It's part of that. But I don't think he struggles to stay relevant. AB can do anything and get in the news. He one of them cats. And now, now he over there on What It Is with Cam'ron and the Mace. Now that's a show. That's going to be a show. AB stay in the news for all the wrong reasons. Facts. Pointing out the phony and Ryan Clark's nonsense. I'm here for you. Yeah, Ryan Clark has pivoted like he's on the pivot. We know that. I wouldn't call him a phony. I just would say he's very intentional at times. And it's pretty obvious what his intentions are, which makes it come off as phony because you're like, dog, we saw that coming. Like when they see you coming, that's bad. But I think that's also reliable. Like I think there's some topics, you know, I'm going to be pretty simple on, pretty obvious on. I don't know. Ryan Clark, no, you can't fight with a fool. You never win. He knows that. That's real. I didn't catch that Ryan Clark wanted to catch a fade, too. He was like, yo, call me if you, this is funny. Call me if you need some help, or call me if you don't need no help, but you want to catch this fade. That's funny. That's a good one, Ryan. All right, y'all. Wileyism. Yeah. My itty bitties are outside, so I ain't going to rush through this, but I'm going to hurry up. All right. Don't judge your friends by what they say to you, but by what you say to them. Another one. DJ Wiley. What? Look around. You got a lot of people around you who tell you anything. You ever meet somebody, you don't even know their name damn near. You know everything about them. That ain't your friend. Because what do they know about you? What did you say to them? What did you give them that was precious? What did you give them that was privilege? So that's how I assess my friends. What am I telling them? What am I giving up? What chunk of flesh do I give them? If it ain't much, we ain't that good of friends. Associate. And that's how we got to start looking at people, man, and looking at your relationships. A lot of people come to you and dump it on you because they want you to return the favor. Maybe you don't. Maybe you do. But the ones you do it for, those are your real ones. Those are your real friends. Happens in this world all the time, man. You walk into situations and here we go, trying to impress you. Here you go, trying to solicit you. Here you go, trying to slang it to you, right? But, and I'm especially going to tell this to my daughters because that's what the dude's going to do. They're going to come at him. Oh, daddy, he's so cool. He's so nice. I like him. He fresh. Oh, he the man. I'm like, what does he know about you? What do you give him? Better not be giving him nothing. Let me stop. What do you give him? What do you mean? What have you told him? What are you guys' level of engagement back and forth? He don't really know much about me. Well, that ain't the guy. That simple as that. And you got to do that because in these situations that's trying to impress you, sometimes they'll try to undress you. Mm-mm. And that ain't the way to go. Because then when you get exposed, you'll be like, what the hell was that? You should have trusted you. Not giving them anything in return or at first was enough to know that this wasn't exactly for you. Simple as that. It helps you navigate. It helps you gauge what you should do. And who you should do it with, because it's like, I'm a ride with those I'm invested in, right? Not just those who are over there trying to impress me, but the ones I respect, the ones I return that favor to. So in everything you do, if you want to know where the compass is, the navigation, how much energy to give it, just take an assessment and make sure you don't judge your friends by what they say to you, but by what you say to them. All right, y'all. That'll do it for More To It. Check the show notes for all the information on our topics today. Today! Want to keep the conversation going? Let's talk. Find me on all socials at Marcellus Wiley. More To It is a production of Dan Patrick Productions, Dad Dude Entertainment, and Workhouse Media. The show is executive produced by Dan Patrick, Marcellus Wiley, Paul Anderson, and Nick Pinella. Thanks for all the love, ratings, and subscriptions, and reviews, membership to Wiley's World on YouTube. Keep it coming because there's more coming from More To It. Talk to y'all hella soon.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and everybody. It's spring, and with the weather changing and so many great things coming up like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, I definitely need a fresh spring wardrobe for every occasion. This spring, I'm looking for that perfect flowy spring dress for Mother's Day, as well as replacing my everyday basics. That's what I love about JCPenney. They have so many stylish and comfortable options that I always find just what I'm looking for there. Spring is a feel-good season and comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. The fashion at JCPenney is the same way. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with styles that gets you something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes, and Stafford and Mutual Weave for him, style and comfort for all, even big and tall. Plus even more for the whole family like Levi's and Exertion. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Are you ready to take charge of your health journey?
Look no further than Trinity School of Natural Health. With their flexible online programs, you can receive the comprehensive education you need to care for your loved ones or step into the thriving field of natural health. Why choose Trinity? Because their programs offer more than just coursework. You'll interact with experienced instructors, connect with like-minded peers, and even participate in optional live events to hone your skills. If you've ever thought about becoming a certified natural health professional, the CNHP program at Trinity School of Natural Health is the perfect certification course. You'll equip yourself with the knowledge and skills to make a real difference in the lives of others. Turn your passion for natural health into a rewarding career. Visit trinityschool.org today to learn more about the Certified Natural Health Professional Certification Program. Go to trinityschool.org. That's trinityschool.org. Trinity School of Natural Health. Transform your life. Transform the world.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So, Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.